Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Ah, good morning, good morning, good morning. Playoff basketball back here in the Mile High City for the first time in 6 years. Congratulations to the Nuggets, who, Mark, I think picked up arguably one of their best wins of the season on the road in Boston, a team that you know was looking for revenge after what the Nuggets and Jamal Murray did to them the last time they met out here. And then you had the added spice of Isaiah Thomas going back to Boston where he's beloved. And all the Nuggets did was methodically go out and really control the game right from the tip.
Well, did I not tell you yesterday this was going to be one that was going to be easy? Like, easy to get up for. It was like the Dallas game, I said yesterday. The Dallas game is the kind that, to me, the buzzer beater, and everybody's like, well, they should have won by 20, you know, what is... No. Those are the hard ones to get up for. This one was going to be easy to get up for. You knew they'd get Boston's best shot. It just goes to show you that they're a much better basketball team. That's what it goes to show you. Jokic was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, you talk about filling up stat lines from the points to the assists to the, you know, to blocks to you name it, rebounds. I mean, he led every statistical category in this game. And you had talked about it just the other day of him becoming kind of growing into that superstar role. Well, he proved it again last night. 21 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks. He was phenomenal. But huge win for the Celtics. Congratulations. And I love, did you see the postgame stuff with Mike Malone?
Right after when they got together and they had a little celebration?
Yeah, we're not, no champagne. We're not done yet.
Right.
But I mean, it was cool. Let's celebrate, but just know that we still got a lot of work to do. I love the attitude of this team. I kind of love where they're going. I love the way they've approached this season. So just a cool victory for them, and a good mindset for the Denver Nuggets.
And you know what I liked also was after they got done with their little team gathering, their little team speech, and they broke, and you know, everybody does, every team from the pros down on to the peewees, they do a little quick little, you know, chant or quick little, you know, on three type thing. And,
right.
And there's this family. They say family at the end. And I think that, to me, watching that game last night, the thing that stood out, now Boston's got its own issues with, you know, a lot of selfishness and a lot of hero ball, but boy, just the thing that jumped out at me was how well the Nuggets play together, how unselfish they are, how much they're willing to make the extra pass and set somebody up for a better shot and always moving without the basketball, because they know if they move without the basketball, they're going to get rewarded with a pass. And it was just so clear, the difference between the Nuggets and the Celtics. And yeah, you're right. It's not only a better team, but they're a better team. You know what I mean? The team.
Right.
They play together as a team, and it's why they're going to be such a tough out come playoff time. Because who are you going to load up on?
Yeah, and I've told you this, you know, I'm friends with Mike Malone, and we've talked about this not only before the season started, but during the course of this season. And he keeps, you know, reiterating that this is a team. They are so tied together. They genuinely like each other and love playing for one another. And I'm telling you, I always look back to our championship teams. The championship teams, you know, and it wasn't just the two here in Denver, but for me, the one in Washington. And the kind of factor that ties all those championships together is guys really cared about one another. Guys really played hard for one another. And you're always going to have a few quirky things happen to you during the course of a season. But you know, when you start kind of forgetting about yourself and start playing for the guys around you, special things happen. And you see this with this Nuggets team. You talked about their unselfishness and they're willing to move without the ball and their, you know, excitement to, you know, as exciting to get an assist as they do, you know, scoring a bucket. That's the Denver Nuggets. And that will take you beyond talent. That's the kind of thing that takes you beyond the talent. And so it's really cool. It's really exciting for them. And, you know, it's fun to kind of get to watch it from the outside looking in.
Yeah, coming up, we'll break down the tale of the tape between them and the Warriors coming down the stretch, because for all the Jeezy Cat talk, all they've done is win 4 in a row, and now they're actually tied with Golden State atop the Western Conference. So it's all about, number one, not number two. Okay. Will you relax about the number two and set your sights a little bit higher, my friend?
Well, see, that's kind of what I was doing. I was just like, I don't know, Mike. I mean, this whole number two stuff, why not number one? Why are you setting their standards low? Why have you just given them the number two spot? Why can't they get number one?
You're right. See,
that was
the way you were going at?
Yeah, that was the way I was looking at.
Hindsight
being 2020, that's pretty much exactly what I was doing now that I think about it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I see what you're doing here. Okay. Plenty of Leftovers. Had a chance to go back and listen to Joe Flacco, Vic Fangio, all the new Broncos that were introduced. And a couple fresh nuggets, popped out as I was listening again to what he had to say. I want you to listen to this, and I got a question for you. Here's Joe Flacco the other day.
Winning football games. Listen, I've been in the league long enough that to know success is nothing but winning football games. I don't care if you're a young team, if you think you're rebuilding. You know, you go win 6, 7, 8 games, that's not success. I don't care. You know, like I said, I don't care what the expectations were from people. At some point, everybody's real expectations are to go win games and be in the playoffs. And then from there, see what happens and go win a Super Bowl. You know, that's what everybody's trying to do, and that's what I'm trying to do the rest of my career is win the Super Bowl.
You know, when Peyton Manning got here, and as soon as we found out that he was healthy, instantly, the expectation was, okay, how many Super Bowls is he going to win? How many Super Bowls is he going to take the Broncos to? That's where the bar immediately got set. What are the expectations for Flacco? What will define success here during his time with the Broncos?
I think there's a couple of things. I think first and foremost, it's making this offense palatable. The last couple of years, Mike, think about it. The last 3 years, it has been dreadful. So it's gotten to the point where, you know, where I nicknamed it the lullaby offense, right? Practicing out on Hushabye Mountain. I mean, it's so bad, and it is so not what we've seen, you know, from a talent standpoint and an execution standpoint, what we see on Sundays. I mean, it doesn't resemble like NFL offenses. And so to be able to work it and play it efficiently, and get yourself back to where you're a competitive football team vying for a playoff spot. I think that's what you're looking for initially. And if you can do that, year one, you know, approaching year two as well, then all of a sudden your expectations of Joe Flacco and this football team will change. But right now, I think based on the last 3 years, it's just like, can we put together a competitive product? Like you don't sit here and think, oh, okay. I mean, I know Joe Flacco said, hey, it's about Super Bowls, and, you know, and it should be, but honestly, you're not thinking Super Bowl. You're just hoping to be efficient enough to be 9-7 and be in the conversation for a playoff spot.
Well, okay, then if those are the expectations for Flacco, what kind of pressure, if any, then? I mean, it seems like the bar might be set kind of low. What kind of pressure is on Vic Fangio to deliver in year one? Also, as promised, the tail of the tape. Coming down the stretch, Nuggets of Golden State. That's all coming up next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Talk about expectations. Now that we've heard from Joe Flacco and some more from Vic Fangio, and you just said a couple of minutes ago that for Joe Flacco, if he can get this team back to respectability, back to the playoffs, that would signal a successful run for him here with the Broncos. What about Fangio, who talked about what the expectations are for him?
They're the same all the time. You know, no matter who we have, we're going to go out there and try and improve each and every day. Our goal is to, when we line up on each and every Sunday or Monday or Saturday or Thursday, that we expect to win that game. It's a process. I don't think you make predictions but we expect to win the games we're playing.
All right, so what kind of expectations, what kind of demands, what kind of pressure is on Vic Fangio in year one?
I, like, pressure on Vic Fangio. I mean, there's always pressure in this league to perform. You know, what do we say? I got it from Clint Hurdle all the time. It's not a try-hard league. It's a do-good league. Like, the expectation is to do good. And if you don't, you will get fired. If you don't win, if you don't improve, and sometimes improvement isn't enough. I mean, it's got to coincide with the wins. So, you know, I mean, I don't think there's any more pressure on Vic Fangio than there is on anybody else that takes this job. The expectations are playoffs here. And so he knows that going in, but that's the expectations everywhere when you take over is to, you know, nobody comes in and goes, man, if we could just be, you know, if we could just be 4-12 or if we could just be 6-10, you know, and show that we are improving, then, you know, there's going to be no pressure on me. And this is a pressure packed job. That's why this job is hard, you know, from a coaching standpoint and a playing standpoint. And it's why, frankly, it's why a lot of people can't survive it. Mike, it's a hard thing. There are expectations. And if you don't perform well, you get replaced. That's how the league operates. And I think it's a good thing. So, I mean, his expectations are the same as Vance Joseph's. You need to win. And if you don't, you're going to get fired.
Yeah, but every first year coach has a certain amount of a honeymoon, certain amount of understanding that this is the first time he's ever done it. There are going to be growing pains. Mm-hmm. There are going to be hard lessons to learn on the job. Do we afford him that kind of leeway? Or is it the expectation, especially after what we saw some of the trials and tribulations of Vance, is that, hey, this guy can't have those same growing pains. He needs to figure it out and figure it out right from the start.
Right. Did Steve Wilks in Arizona get those with one of the worst rosters in football? Did he get, you know, did he get that? Were they compassionate? No, they moved on and they got Cliff Kingsbury, you know, and they're going to go college. It's a rough business. Frankly, Vance Joseph should have been fired after year one.
I'm not sure.
Hindsight being 2020, he probably should
John
have
John thought about it.
John said, I got to go home and sleep on it. He probably should have just moved on. But he didn't. And, you know, and then you go through another 6-10 season and your team is not, you know, very good. And you have to make that decision, you know, then. I mean, hindsight being 2020, I think John would have gone with his gut and said, hey, you know, regardless, consequences be damned. And, you know, the critics are going to be out regardless. So I should probably go with my gut and move in a different direction. He went out and got himself a quote unquote adult, somebody who's never been a head coach, but have been a coach forever in this league. That's going to have a certain amount of, just a certain amount of credibility because of what he's done. And most of these guys have competed against Vic Fangio defenses and they're tough and guys know how tough they are. So, you know, the expectation is to put a winning team on the football field. And Vic knows that better than anybody else. I mean, he knows that you don't win in this league, you're going to get replaced.
Well, Michael Malone was given time to turn this thing around, and the Nuggets have been patient. He's been patient, and now it's all starting to pay off as the Nuggets clinch their first playoff spot in 6 years. Malone, understandably happy, but not satisfied.
Oh, it's a great feeling. You know, 4 years in the making, 2 years in a row coming up just shy, one game short, using that as a motivation for tonight's moment. So happy for all of our guys, put a lot of time and work into this, but we still have a lot of work to do. You know, we're not satisfied with just making the playoffs. I think we realized early on in the season we had a chance to be a special team, and that remains the case. So, you know, let's continue to fight, try to win as many games as we can and see where we wind up.
Well, right now they are tied atop the Western Conference, tied for the best record in the West, number one seed with Golden State. Little tail of the tape between the two teams coming down the stretch. The Warriors have 7 home games, 6 road games, and check out these heavyweights on the road. At Minnesota twice, at Memphis twice, at New Orleans, and at the Lakers. Meanwhile,
so you're telling me
there's a chance.
Well, I will say this, going back to my theory now, hard to get up for those teams that, you know, just absolutely stink.
Good point.
So, that, you know, those teams are going to be gunning for you because that's all they got. Hey, we beat the Warriors. You know, that's all they got. The Warriors have got to go through this, you know, this murderer's row of murdered victims. I mean, they're awful. Like, that's a hard thing to get up for every night. So that part to me is a plus.
The Nuggets only have 5 home games compared to 8 road games. And their roadies, on this trip at Washington, at New York, at Indiana, not exactly a tough row there. And then they're at Houston, at Oklahoma City, at Golden State, at Portland, at Utah. So a much more difficult schedule for the Nuggets coming down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, talking about, and again, that game at Golden State already owns the tiebreaker, so it would be one of those things that the Nuggets really would have to win probably at Golden State to get that number one seed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which is, isn't that the way it should be? You know, you should have to go out there and win that game, get the number one seed. That'd be great. That would just be awesome. Like if that's what you're playing for right there, like you put the chips in the middle and that's what you're playing for, and we'll see exactly kind of where you stack up. I think that's great. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah. So are you confident now about finishing number 2? I mean, all your jinxy cats ribbing aside?
Mike, I approach life like I approach like when I was playing football. I expect the worst in everything to happen.
Yeah, you're right. Horton hears a who.
Right.
No matter what.
And then anything that good that happens, anything good that happens is bonus.
Uh-huh.
Right? I am still waiting. I am still waiting to this day for the being in the middle of practice, 2-a-days, where the bus is pulled up and right after stretch, and the coach says, screw it, guys. We're going to the movies. And we, like, I was like, I've told many coaches, like, that was my dream. I was always looking up on the hill. We'd practice down there in the little, on the football fields, like the little valley at, Greeley, Colorado. And up on the hill over there, you know, there's a hill where people would stand and stuff. I was waiting for the buses to pull up over there. And every day I would stretch. And as I was stretching, I'd just kind of glance over there in dream that, you know, I was just in this dream, this fog, that the buses would pull up. And I've told many coaches, you want to win a Super Bowl? That's the start of it right there. One day, unexpectedly, the buses pull up and you all go watch a movie together. In your uniform, you got popcorn, you know, everybody's, yay, it's great. And you miss practice.
Oh my goodness. You are such a child. Okay.
I used to fantasize about that all the time. Never happened.
At the risk of getting more Jinxy Cat comments coming my way, I'll tell you why. In the Morning Brew, things are shaping up nicely for the Rockies to win the National League West for the first time ever. That's next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Look at this Denny's coffee and cooler stack.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on!
Oh, it's a great feeling. You know, 4 years in the making, 2 years in a row coming up just shy, one game short, using that as a motivation for tonight's moment. So happy for all of our guys, put a lot of time and work into this, but we still have a lot of work to do. You know, we're not satisfied with just making the playoffs. I think we realized early on this season we had a chance to be a special team, and that remains the case.
Michael Bones, I think, striking the right chord, Stink, after the Nuggets clinched a playoff berth that we knew was coming for a long, long time. But still, there's something special about going out and doing it and breaking a streak of 6 long years without making it to the playoffs. But once they get to the playoffs, do you feel that this team will truly feel like, hey, we're not satisfied, let's go as far as we possibly can? Or do you think there will be any sense of happy to be here in them?
I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of happy to be here, but my general sense on the Nuggets is that you've got to earn everything, and you still haven't earned it yet in the eyes of the national, you know, media. I mean, there's just, like, they're still an afterthought. They're like, yeah, they're a really good team. Okay, let's talk about LeBron. Oh, they're a really good team. Let's talk about James Harden. Oh, they're a really good team, but let's talk about the Warriors. I tell you what, I know how that feels. I mean, I sat through a two-week period of the Super Bowl where, you know, we're playing the Green Bay Packers, and all I heard was, oh, there's no way they can compete. There's no way that they're not as good as the Packers.
Well, we heard the same thing Radio Row before the Panthers Super Bowl.
And it gnaws at you. And I think it's a powerful position for the Nuggets to be in, because I know that it bothers. I know they hear it. Like, when I texted, when we had Charles Barkley on last week, and I was texting with Michael Malone, he's like, man, I appreciate Charles. Charles has had our back from early on. Like, that tells me that Charles is the one guy that's had their back. Everybody else has been, like, a non-factor. Like, don't tell me that doesn't bother them to some degree. That's a great thing.
Next on the Morning Brew.
It's been a little rough, but, you know, I'm taking this time to, you know, really get my body right, really get my mind right, and I think it'll be beneficial.
The Oakland Raiders have expressed interest in signing former Broncos linebacker Brandon Marshall. How would you feel about seeing B. Marsh in a Raiders uniform?
I'd be great. I love B. Marsh, man. He's done so many great things in the community. He's a good player. A great guy. I'd be happy for him. I mean, you know, it's still the Raiders, right? So, you know,
why not bring him back here? He wants to be here. He doesn't want to leave. And it's not like they're so deep at linebacker that there's no room for him.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Because they've already made the decision. They're going in a different direction. And, you know, based on reading the tea leaves, Mike, it certainly looks like they've done their work in free agency in the back end of the defense with the signing of, you know, of Callahan and with the signing of Jackson. So it certainly looks like they're going to go draft linebackers, and they've got some really good ones. I mean, that's a position of strength coming up in this draft. So it certainly looks like that's the way they're going. Like, they've made their decision. This is the way we're going.
I think this is as simple as, look, it is time for the Broncos to move on. It's time to go in a different direction, linebacker. And I can see the appeal of the Raiders looking at a guy like Brandon Marshall. They're trying to build a culture, and they probably look at Marshall not as much for what he can bring as a game changer as a player, but the idea that he still has something left, but more importantly, that he can, you can bring some of what he's learned and what he has been a part of all these years with the Broncos. And for the Raiders, who are desperate for any kind of player with that kind of background, you can see the appeal.
Yeah. Listen, absolutely. Listen, Brandon Marshall is a good player. He's had some injury issues last year. They've moved on. And the Raiders have made a lot of really significant good moves, you know, from a talent standpoint. Now, you can argue whether Antonio Brown is going to, you know, once he got his money, is he going to be happy for the next 2 years? Probably. Like, will he be a big issue? Still going to be late to stuff. I mean, that's the way he is, but you're going to have to manage him. But I don't know. I think B. Marsh is a good football player who would be an asset to anybody who signed him.
Next on the Morning Bro.
7 to shoot. Goldwire dribbles up top to the left, and Jones crossed over, got inside. Give it to Zion. Reverse dunk! Oh, you gotta be kidding!
Duke Radio. The Dukies are one of the largest favorites ever to win the NCAA tournament. They are listed at 2-1 to win the tournament at multiple sports books. The 2014-15 Kentucky team was near even money to win the tournament. But Duke is an overwhelming favorite to win this tournament. So does that mean Duke wins this tournament?
Yeah, the odds are, you know, I mean, if you're taking, are you saying Duke or the field? Take the field? I'd probably take the field. It does lend you to think about the importance of Zion Williamson. And, you know, then you get to, I read some stuff yesterday as I was traveling out here about, like, shouldn't that guy be able to capitalize? Shouldn't that guy be able to make some money on his name? Like, the importance that he brings to college basketball right now? The value that he brings to the Duke Blue Devils, he's the face of this
tournament.
Think about it. When they lost him in that game where he blew out of his sneaker, North Carolina, the Tar Heels ran over them. I mean, ran over them. And then he comes back for the ACC, you know, playoffs and, you know, leads them to the, championship, you know, and leads them to win over Duke. So, I mean, over North Carolina. I mean, the guy is phenomenal. He's just an amazing athlete and an amazing player. And like you said, he's the face of that franchise that is Duke.
Next on the Morning Bro.
He's not going to start opening day. When he's ready to pitch for us is when he'll pitch for us.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts talking about Clayton Kershaw.
Getting a little spicy, too. Like, getting a little tired of answering that question.
Battling injuries again.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, come on. Join with me. Get on the bandwagon. Get on board with the idea that if ever there is a year that the Rockies are going to break through and win that elusive first National League West title, it is this year.
Listen, I can't. I mean, they should have won it last year, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Should have won it last year.
Mm-hmm.
This could be the year.
Mm-hmm.
This could... All right, well, I can't. I'm not ready to go there.
There he is again. Horton, here's a who.
I'm not ready.
There's Mark Shadow. There's Mark Shadow. Who?
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 Who? Yeah, I'm not. I am the piglet of Denver Talk Radio.
Oh, that's a beauty.
Yeah.
We'll get to work on that one, fellas. I need some piglet drops.
Mm-hmm.
I need some piglet drops. That'll do it. For the Morning Brew, bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. We'll hear more from Nuggets coach Michael Malone, who I believe needs to win this award and should be a landslide winner for this award. That's next. You know, we've been talking about expectations. Expectations now that we've heard from Joe Flacco. Expectations now that we're starting to learn more about Vic Fangio. And the interesting dynamic, Mark, Elway and Fangio, how different, how much better, improved will it be Elway-Fangio as compared to Elway and Vijay? John talked about working with Vic.
I mean, to me, it's been great. Like Vic said, it's been pretty seamless, and I think as well as with the staff, the whole staff that Vic's put together has been tremendous and being able to work together. So I think that, with the players that we have so far, and, you know, it's been, you know, we've been 100% as far as people agreeing with the right people. And so it's been really good so far. I anticipate it continue to get better and as we get to know each other, and which has been a great process also. So we have a lot of the same philosophies, and you know, as we continue on, we'll get to know each other better, and I think it's going to be a great relationship.
Okay, this is the start of a wonderful relationship. Why will Elway Fangio be better than Elway Vijay?
I'm not sure.
Oh, Millennial Ben, you're so good.
That was awesome. Just awesome. I think number one, I mean, because Vic Fangio just, you know, I mean, Vic Fangio has been coaching for so long. I think there's a certain attitude and there's just a credibility there that frankly, young coaches, for the most part, young head coaches don't usually have. You know, it's honestly, it's harder for a young coach because everybody, you know, has got an eye turn to you wondering, okay, when is this guy going to screw up? And when is the youth aspect of that, you know, when is it going to be inconsistent or whatever the case may be? I think young coaches have far more to prove. That's why, you know, Sean McVay's rise has just been so incredible because usually a young coach doesn't have the maturity, you know, when things get tough to deal with players and to deal with, you know, organizations and to deal with those things. I mean, we saw it firsthand here, with Hurricane Josh. And, you know, there's just a lack of maturity from the head coach position. And I think usually that's where, you know, where as soon as something becomes inconsistent or as soon as you deal with something and you don't have, you know, you just don't have the kind of gravitas that it requires, guys kind of tune you out or guys become buddies with you. There still has to be that you can have that connection, but there still has to be that authoritative, this dude's the principal, and if you screw up, you're going to be in trouble.
And he certainly is empowered. That's the big thing. He is empowered. You can just sense right away the level of empowerment is so much more with Fangio than it was with VJ. I mean, you could, with the benefit of not only going through it the first time, but certainly the benefit of hindsight, I mean, you could see the puppet strings from Vance's shoulders.
Right.
I mean, you really could.
It's mind-boggling.
And I don't sense that at all here with Fangio. So. Mm-hmm. Credit to John. Credit to Elway for learning from his mistakes and understanding that you got to empower your coach and you got to give him a little bit more free rein and hope that he picks it up quickly. So,
like, I really don't care.
So I'm encouraged. Oh, Vance.
He's
Vance,
the gift you're, that
you're
just
gone.
Keeps on giving.
You're gone, but you're not forgotten. Speaking of coaches who just seem to have that connection with his players, boy, are you seeing that right now with Michael Malone and the Nuggets? And I know that the Nuggets fight an uphill battle to get recognized nationally. And if you got Michael Malone alone, honestly, he'd acknowledge that. He understands that until they do it in the playoffs, that, you know, they're going to be a team that nobody talks about or that teams look at with that people around the league look at with a hearty amount of skepticism. But still, haven't they done enough that he should be coach of the year?
Number one in the West right now, from not being a playoff team last year, from being on the outside looking in to number one in the West right now. Absolutely. No, there is no question. And you know, I get that nationally they don't get a lot of attention and there should be a chip on your shoulder. But look what the Milwaukee Bucks have done. And I get it, the East isn't as good and stuff, but they're 52-18, man. Like, and nobody talks about the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, nobody nationally. When was the last time you turned on any NBA kind of show? Well,
they talk about the Greek Freak. They talk about Giannis, but they don't really talk about the Bucks. Nobody's breaking down the Bucks.
No. I mean, and if they talk about the Greek Freak, it's just, you know, it's two highlights of him doing something, you know, spectacularly athletic. But they don't, you know, I mean, it's just not going to happen, Mike. It just is the way it is. You know, I mean, this business is interesting because you pander to what moves the needle. You know, I'm going on, after we get done today, I'm going on FS1 on Undisputed with Shannon Sharpe, former teammate Shannon Sharpe, Denver Bronco great, Hall of Famer. And you know what we're talking about? The Cowboys. They've done nothing in free agency. Yeah, but how are they going to manage their cap? Got a lot of players internally that they need to sign. Like that. Really?
And if the NBA does come up, it will be all about LeBron. He loves himself some. Oh my God, I love Shannon, but his nose is so far up LeBron's butt. It is scary. So what you need to do is you need to actually bust his.
Chops
a little bit, and just hey Shannon, how about the hometown team?
Right.
I know you love yourself some LeBron, but how about you get behind the old hometown team?
Right.
See what he has to say. I challenge you to do that. Every once in a while, I challenge you to do something on TV. I'm challenging you to do that. I'm going to tune in specifically to see you challenge Shannon on that.
Yeah, so you want me to transition from the NBA topic we're talking. By the way, before I go, and then challenge Sharp on the Nuggets.
Say, by the way, listen, I know you're a big LeBron fan and you love LeBron, but since they're going nowhere and they're irrelevant, how about you jumping back on the bandwagon of the hometown team, the Nuggets? I'd be fascinated to see what he says.
He says, "Hey, we gotta go to break."
Hey, here's Malone talking about talk of all the hype that he's getting. Naturally, he is deflecting.
So credit to staff, credit to our players, training staff, security guards, everybody. I mean, you've been around us, Demps. We're a very close group. And 4 years in, Tim Connolly, Josh Kroenke, Arturis, all those guys that have been so patient And that's what you appreciate. When you come to work every day and work with good people who share a common vision and a common dream and have the patience to see it through, that's so powerful. So it's not about me. It's about those players.
Well, they got a good thing going right now. You could just tell. That's why I'm not worried about come playoff time, that this sense of they're just happy to be there. They enjoy being around each other. They enjoy playing with each other. They don't want this thing to end anytime soon, so do not worry at all about the Nuggets being just happy to be there once they get to the playoffs. First time in 6 years. Congratulations to them. You're going to clear the air.
Yes, I am.
Emma, what you got? I know you've been thinking about it.
Yeah.
All night long.
Secret stuff.
Secret stuff.
I'm going to clear the air on secret stuff.
The secret clear the air sauce with Mark coming up next.